A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now, here we are on Wednesday morning. We've had a little brief break to go to the Scilly Isles.
Yes.
Now we're back in Sensible Town. You've been talking about this story. You've got this story.
I've massively overhyped it.
Have you? I've managed to resist, and I do try to resist the old-fashioned thing of, you don't need work, darling. If you don't, what have you got? You don't need the podcast. And I realised that...
And can I say, I really, really appreciate it when you don't hassle me about it. Yeah. If you hassle me, I will lose my rag.
But it's kind of not hassling you about the podcast. It's a bit like a no-dig garden, you know? You know the gardening where you don't dig, you leave it to the worms, and you never fork it or ever, and eventually... Or like people who never wash their hair, and after a few weeks it starts to clean itself. But if you do wash it, if you fuck with your garden and like dig it a bit, it doesn't work. It's the same thing with you. I just don't say anything. Really hope that on Wednesday you've done some stuff.
Yeah.
And this will only work if you then generate some good stuff on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
You're frantically turning the pages.
Yeah,
can you
I can't
even
find the story. I know what the story is, but I wrote down Monday Times, page 25, and it's not there.
You sold it to me. I said, you've got a story, have you? And he said, yes, it's on the foreign pages, which you never read.
You never read, yeah.
No, I don't care about foreigners.
Shit.
You
can
really
you give
can't...
me the Tuesday? Tuesday.
We can probably fill up most of the podcast with this. Tuesday. Well, while you're looking there, that's the one which says Brexit is a bag of shit, says Michelle Roux. And I wonder, why did they ask a chef? Oh, have you found it? Right, I was only filling. Oh,
but they've asked the chef because they've got all sorts of supply and staff things to deal with.
Yeah, but I suppose so. But just seeing a picture of Michelle Roux with his arms folded and his big MasterChef face on going, Brexit's a bad idea. You go, really? Yeah, who cares? Anyway.
Fine. Okay, look, I was so tickled by this story, all right? The headline is Sex-Ridden Bible Banned from Schools. And you're thinking, hang on a second, has there been a Bible for sex circulated around schools? No. No. This is a district in Utah has banned the Bible from primary and middle school classes after a parent complained that it contained too much sex and violence for younger pupils. The suburban school district of Davis, north of Salt Lake City and home to more than 70,000 children, removed the Bible from classrooms after the objection about its widespread references to incest, prostitution and rape. The Bible is too Bible-y
for the Bible
for Utah.
Utah, which is obviously full of...
I think Utah's full of Mormons, isn't it?
Correct. Correcto mundo.
Why is that so funny that they've banned the Bible because it's too sexy?
I confess I did see that story because I do read the foreign pages and I won't have aspersions cast upon my
reading of the newspaper.
But I hadn't written it down and I did think it's very, very funny. You imagine the Bible, if the Bible's going to get banned... It's going to get what?
It's just so funny.
It's funny.
They banned the Bible.
They're so religious that they banned the Bible.
But
also, it's partly because these nutters take the Bible literally. You would imagine that this is the world of the creationists, the people who really believe that God made the world in 6 days. Which, of course, you know, over the long history of the Bible, no one's really believed that. Not since the Middle Ages, really. Certainly not since the Enlightenment has anyone really thought that that was anything but metaphorical. So it's quite funny. So the Bible is this collection of bonkers stories. The idea of banning it is funny. You'd have thought if anyone was going to ban it, you would imagine it to come into the culture war on the woke side. You would expect the Bible is too heteronormative.
Yeah.
I can't even say it.
Don't worry, it's a ridiculous
heteronormative word. Heteronormative is where everyone, you wake up one morning and decide that you're Norman.
Yeah.
it's too heteronormative, it's too cisgender, it's men, it's women, it's obviously...
People smiting each other all the time.
They are, and when people of the same sex have sex with each other, they get turned into pillars of salt. Although she was just watching them doing it, but you get smitten from the face of the earth. So it's all very. But the idea that the super conservative right would remove it. What is too sexy in the Bible then?
Yeah.
Could you think of what it is? It's certainly. There's. You would imagine.
It says here widespread in references to incest, prostitution, and rape.
Well, we all there was. Only, we. Started,
I don't know the Bible well enough.
Yeah,
well,
but I do.
Right.
First of all, you've got a Bible. You started off with one person. Right, so it's all incest.
Mm.
Otherwise, you don't get lots of people.
Mm-hmm.
The first birth is obviously immaculate because it just comes out of Adam's rib. Although that creates problems, you'd have thought, on the woke side,
mm-hmm.
because the woman is just an adjunct
to the
man.
Yeah.
But you then have Cain and Abel, and then Seth later. And so, where are the women coming from? Did they have sex with Eve? How did they get?
Yeah.
But then later, and also look, all those chosen people stuff. You have to keep having sex with your relatives.
I vaguely remember at the beginning that there is an awful lot of he lay with him and begat this person, and Rachel lay with thing and begat that. It's quite a lot of bed hopping.
Well, there's Onan who cast his seed upon the ground when told to go in. God told him to go in under his brother's wife. Because the brother had died or something, or couldn't have kids, and they needed to keep on creating more people in the desert. So, and he didn't want to, so he committed Onan. So he spilt his seed upon the ground, which was.
But this was a sin, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
But it was bad because he didn't want to stick it in his brother's wife.
Yes, I can. I'm now starting to see. I'm now starting to see if you are having. So,
yeah.
if you are a sort of Bible-heavy state like Utah must be, and you are. And children are reading these stories and asking difficult questions about these stories, I can quite see how you would want to really get rid of it and replace it all with Charlie and Lola.
So look, if one is trying to write a column about
it. Make the Bible, how to make the Bible less sexy. How to clean up the Bible.
Campaign to clean up the Bible.
Your campaign to clean up the Bible. Okay, it's too sexy, it's got too much. And you say, we're talking about things we don't know anything about. I just said I don't really know anything about Bible, and you went, I do.
Okay, so, I can fool you. Whether I can fool this, the Times is the newspaper of the General Synod. This paper is read by bishops. That's quite fun, isn't it? Fuck with the bishops and the rabbis.
You can fuck with both of them because you can do Old Testament and New Testament.
Well, that's the thing. So cleaning up the Bible, one would argue as a Jew, albeit a deracinated one, that's one of the things the Christians tried to do. Because the Christians came along and said, ooh, you can have a baby without having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the basis of Christianity.
It sure is.
Which is a miracle that they've been trying to replicate ever since and failing.
Yeah. Although a crocodile... There was a virgin birth of a crocodile.
There
this
was.
Week. Yes.
Which
are they going to start a new religion based on this virgin
could
birth?
Work. And did you see? And this and it which threw light on how dinosaurs managed to reproduce, and obviously teenage boys in boarding schools.
Yeah, they managed to reproduce
in the absence of the opposite sex. Just enough jizz,
you'll
eventually get some sort of terrible spunk golem, which will come to life. Yes, do you think I can get Spunk Golem into the Times?
Sounds great.
Those bishops will love it.
Yeah, I've always thought of the golem as quite spunky.
Yeah. Maybe that's quite funny, but I mean, let's move on to something else from there, shall we? I was quite interested, just briefly, and did you see the Apple autocorrect is being changed?
Yeah, so you can swear.
So that you can swear on it. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to offer, but it's not going to be ready for a while. That whole thing of what the duck?
You know,
that kind of thing. I'm fed up with this ducking autocorrect.
Mm. And also when one is possibly a little bit tipsy and you're trying to, I'm in a can. Taxi.
Yeah, CXX.
I mean XXX. And the new internet parlance, which is where you spell something wrong in your WhatsApp. Everyone knows you spelled it wrong and it's a typo. But the message underneath has an asterisk with the word you meant to say. And even though everyone knows it's just a typo and who cares?
Really?
One needs to kind of just say, I know that, you know, it's two, not two, or whatever.
It's only that. Oh, I'm probably with the wrong paper. I don't know if I need to get the actual story, but they're changing the way that spell check works so that you can swear.
Yes, I mean, the thing is, I really wish I could impress upon you and absolutely everybody listening to this that any tech problem that you have, you just put it into Google and it will give you the answer. How do I, if you put into Google, how do I The next 10 options will be change the contacts on my iPhone, attach my Bluetooth headset on my
iPhone. Not as much fun as putting fuck into your contacts.
Okay, all right.
Which is just more clever and laterally thinking.
I forgot who I was dealing with.
We're only going to outwit AI with that kind of lateral thinking.
AI. I like the fact that they've been telling us that AI is going to destroy the world.
Too much.
Any minute now. And today, Microsoft have said, can everyone just calm down? It's really, everyone needs to row back on the...
Oh, Microsoft have said, calm down. Really? Bit like Hitler said, can we all calm down about these so-called pogroms?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want to... I've written Apple VR goggles, but it makes my balls shrivel with boredom.
It really does mine.
Do you want to put it in?
No,
I mean,
I don't.
Certain friends of mine have been getting all excited about it. Isn't it just a new way to watch television?
It's friends of yours who are very online and watch a lot of television, yeah. I mean...
Apparently, you wear this thing in your life,
yeah,
and it records everything with your cameras. And my friend and yours, our friend who lives in Los Angeles, is saying it's really great because you wear this thing, and then... And I said, why are you excited about this shit, Rich? And he said, well, you know, we're all going to end up in an old people's home. And because a piece in the paper said it will revolutionise memory. And he said, we'll all end up in an old people's home, but you'll be able to watch back your life. And I went, well, A, mate, that is not memory. Memory does a very good job of selecting stuff. Unless you have major mental issues, it can maybe get... But basically, it selects the good stuff. And, you know, the idea that you would want to play back your life... And he said, yeah, like sex and stuff. I said, well, I'm going to need a VR machine that can travel back in time if I'm going to record the good stuff.
Give it a rest. Give it a fucking rest. I mean, that is an interesting point because, you know, at the start of this week, I had a terrible row with a vet about my cat. And it was very unpleasant that day. And then yesterday I was a bit sort of troubled by it. And today I've basically forgotten about it because that is my mind protecting myself from the reality of what happened, which I don't want to relive. And I would like to move on.
Talk briefly about vets.
No, I don't want to.
You've written about it in your Substack.
I know. I wanted to write about having arguments with strangers on my Substack because I think that is really interesting. And it's a thing that happens to all of us from time to time. Mostly we have nice encounters with other people unless you are like really confrontational and mad. You broadly wanders around having perfectly all right interactions with people. And then sometimes you have a row with a stranger and it's really weird.
We know that people get angry about vets. The Daily Mail will every now and again have a massive scream about them because they're all owned. There's two or three chains that they're owned by venture capital. We all know this bizarre thing, and I'm sure we have a lot of readers have pets, because whenever I write about how I don't like dogs, I get loads of hate mail. I love individual dogs on an ad canem basis, but as a general thing, I'm more of a cat person, but that's fine. I love cats, some people love dogs. Either way, you have to go to the vet. And we all know this bizarre thing where a cat or dog x-ray is 800 quid, mm-hmm. but you go privately to Harley Street, it's only 200, and you one is almost tempted to go down there with the cat. And when they take you into the room, just lob the cat into the scanner. But for some reason, they can do 800 quid for people. And because very few people manage to get insurance, we do have insurance for ours. So they have this sort of vastly expensive thing and these operations that... And then, because they treat you so badly, you phone up. They always have an agent will be with you soon. I've been in them and give me fucking agent. You've got one sort of scratchy teenager sitting at reception, purring over the cat stuff. And there's no agent. And you wait for an hour and they go, no, we've got nothing until September. And you go, but it's an emergency. Well, you have to have it. They are rubbing their hands with glee. Oh, everyone's bought these dogs. They line it up for months and months and months, sell them all this ridiculous stuff. And they know that people feel very sentimental about their animals. Maybe I feel this story might resonate with readers.
Possibly. I think certainly the vets being full and very, very expensive will resonate.
And high-handed with humans.
Maybe high-handed with humans. I don't know. Maybe. When you're in a situation where you've taken on too many clients and you're just bombarded by these people and their problems all the time, you go bonkers. I mean, I'm not surprised. Really, really, really stressed and look exhausted.
No, and you get to think you're really, really, really important.
Yeah.
You get a sort of disproportionate sense.
Yes.
And that leads to the kind of situations that one sees in, for example, the Catholic Church in provincial Ireland. you can actually have a situation, or boarding school housemasters in the 1950s. You can be put into a position of disproportionate authority, and you can
lose perspective.
Go a little bit Mr. Kurtz, you know, from what's his face? From Apocalypse Now is a reasonable reference. I'm going to go literary. I'm going to go Conrad and say, so should I write a column in which I do retell Heart of Darkness about a vet?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Off Air, the podcast. With Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
You eat cheese in the sink?
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr and Mrs.
Oh, no,
yes. How would that go in the booth?
Badly. It would go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast. Now available on the Times radio app.
Oh, Prince Harry. Poor dude.
I've come around to very sorry for him.
God almighty. Meghan Markle, we created Meghan Markle by not allowing Prince Harry to just have a nice, quiet relationship with that nice Chelsea Davy. And she's got loads of fucking money and they could have gone and lived whenever they wanted.
You're referring to the fact that this weird thing where in the court case yesterday as we record, he's been talking a lot about how the press spoilt his relationship with Chelsea Davy.
Yeah.
So leaving aside the other issues, which the journalism is really, here's the 120 odd stories he doesn't like. Possibly half of them might have been got by illegal means. Some of them would have been okay means. But you still have to ask the question, is it okay for journalism to do even things like take Paul Burrell out for a drink and then get him drunk, and which would be legal, but whatever. He's saying, it spoiled my relationship with who I was deeply in love with. And I thought, fucking me, Meghan, the most controlling woman on the planet, Markle, back home in LA, well, she can't watch it because they're not allowed to the courtroom, reading the transcript of the court case where Harry's talking about how much he loved Chelsea Davy. Now, neither of us is too madly controlling as a spouse, really. No one really wants to hear about, you know, the grisly details of previous relationships. But, you know, it's okay to have previously been in love with someone else.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's okay for Meghan Markle to be... Sorry, I've gone off on one there. I'm just thinking of him admitting that she was so important. You're saying that if we, the press, by which you mean you and me and our employers, hounded Chelsea Davy out and created a vacuum which Meghan Markle stepped into.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. And I think
real butterfly effect stuff.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's weird. It's really, it gave me quite creepy feelings sort of reading about it. But I don't think that the palace... I think that the responsibility is obviously with the press, but it is also with the palace. They did not look after that boy properly.
They didn't look after anyone.
No.
And everybody has... come a cropper in different ways, whether it's Diana, whether it's William, whether it's Prince Andrew, Charles, all of them. They've all come a cropper in various different ways because they weren't looked after. But now I do feel very sorry for him.
Yeah, it's really, really nasty, and he should have been shielded from all that. And I don't know how, but I think possibly, I have written about this before, that the royal family should just be dismantled for its own sanity and safety.
No, we've had enough royals, though.
Sure, we do.
But I agree with you.
Have you seen Marks and Spencer's are dropping sell-by-date for milk?
I have. Oh, it's not so much sell-by-date, though I hesitate to correct you. It's use-by-date.
Okay.
So they're going to have a sort of selling date when they'll stop it, when they'll take it off the shelf. But they're getting rid of the use-by-date and want us to go back to the sniff test, which lives on in... people, the underwear drawers of the nation. I don't know. I was going to go towards panty sniffing. Thought about it. Couldn't think of anything. Came away again. Certainly the sniff test that works on one's own t-shirts. Another day. But anyway, the sniff test on milk, which is, you would think, great, giving a little bit. Because one of the great problems with the food industry, waste is the thing that M&S purports to be tackling, is responsibilities taken completely out of the hands of the consumer and taken over by the factories, much like your mate Van Tulleken, whichever one it is, who's written the very... successful.
It's very difficult to tell them apart.
It is.
It's Christopher, but
the UPS, not UPF.
UPF. Ultra processed food.
That thing,
which never goes off.
Which is a part of the story where the massive obesity, the gigantic, disgusting fat people of this nation, it really isn't their fault.
No, it really isn't.
Because they've been given the responsibilities taken away from them, and they have been given these UPFs to eat. And it's a bit the same thing with the sell-by dates. It says it's off, boom, it goes.
Yeah.
Our kids have a tendency...
They do.
...to look at the dates on the milk and go, I'm not drinking that, even when it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is probably a good thing, right?
To take away the use-bys?
Yeah.
100%.
I mean, like the broccoli, those broccolis that you line up in the fridge week after week and they get eaten wrapped. The ones that you take off the plastic and it's all yellow and crumbles and dust.
Yeah, and you open
hand,
the fridge and they
like
go,
something
all right.
Outrageous as the Lost Ark.
Yes, when it starts talking to you when the fridge opens, that's it. I was wondering if you could do a welcome to my fridge.
Yes. Oh, having eschewed welcome to my garden, but done welcome
to my... Yeah, we can do, because you can do welcome to my fridge.
Although, can I mean, yes.
Go on.
No. I mean, let's not piss on the fire too soon. Welcome to my fridge. You're quite right. The sniff test, the other test, the squeeze tests.
Yeah.
A column about the things that happen to the different kinds of food.
Yes, which you're very good at describing.
Good at describing food.
What happens to a cucumber? What happens to a cucumber when it's left in plastic?
The thing about cucumbers shrink wrapped in plastic is you buy it from the supermarket, bring it home.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to, all middle-aged men will understand what happens to the texture of a cucumber when it's been in the fridge too long. It comes home from the supermarket rock hard in that fit. Brilliant. You leave it in there for 2 weeks and you take it out and it's still sort of firm. You could sort of push it through a slot, but really it's bendy. Is it bendy? Is it? Oh, you know, it's a bit, it's just you've had a couple too many. Anyway.
Neil's having a nervous breakdown.
I know. It's like a giant green erection after too many beers.
Okay.
But other things in the
but
fridge.
But that's quite. But I.
All
I,
the
I,
thing, the blue things of the blue
yeah,
on the top of the.
Yeah, the layers of, you know.
When you go to the fridge, you reach for the fresh pack, whether it's the pesto, and then at the back is a slightly annoying pesto with a foil bit over the lid. It might be okay. Oh, fresh pesto! Boom, and they sit at the back, don't they? But what are we going to do about the 9 pots of pesto in the fridge?
There aren't any pots of pesto in the fridge. Then maybe there's one. Don't go look for it. Maybe there's one. Okay, maybe. All right, maybe there's one. Maybe there's one.
May Neil be my witness, Neil. Would you describe what you see?
Pesto times two.
Are they both closed and fresh and ready to go?
No,
they're empty. What's one of them got on it?
Foil.
Bit of tin foil. Just want to say, that's only the first. I've just only had a first look.
I think this is definitely his column. Look how excited he is.
Yeah, okay, fine. There's only one.
Was that 17th of April? 22nd of May? Yeah, I just don't care what's in my fridge. I really don't. It's my one act of kind of feminist rebellion. I just don't care. I'm just not bothered. I mean, because the thing is that Giles lives here too, right? And if he wants a tidy fridge, he can just fucking do it himself. I've got to say, every now and again, I do a massive...
Oh, guess the sell-by date. Today is the 7th.
I know what the sell-by date is.
Oh, you don't? Come on,
yes,
then.
I do. 17th of April and 22nd of May.
January, February, March, April. How do you know that? Oh, you just looked?
Because Neil pointed to them in horror.
17th of April?
Actually, he wasn't bothered.
17th of April?
Yeah.
I mean, Sam was only 9. You were only 42. It's just some shit has happened since we bought that pesto.
Right, what have you got next? Do you want to talk about the Queen turning down the corners of her books as opposed to using a bookmark?
Yes.
Today's paper, page 15, if that's today's paper.
Ooh. Queen fights the corner for page folders. Among controversies guaranteed to rile the British public, it is rivalled only by which order to put cream and jam on a scone. Ah, Jack Morvan. Jack Morvan writes. Good stuff, Jack. How to hang loo roll and Brexit. The question of whether one should use bookmarks or fold page corners to keep one's place in a book has been reopened by a royal intervention. The Queen has been outed by a charity director as a corner folder. We have to remind ourselves that's Camilla Parker Bowles, because I often think the Queen...
Oh, hang on a second. You're not going the Queen?
Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, wow.
What?
I had a riff about...
That's like writing 2022 on checks right into August.
Whoops.
You had a vision of...
I had a
quick impression.
One folds down the corner of one's books because one does what one likes because one's the fucking Queen.
The Queen has been outed by a charity director as a corner folder. She folds the corner of the books down. Vicky Perrin, director of Reading Room, a charity born of the Queen's campaign. And bear in mind that I myself have, in fact, been a judge on a reading and writing competition run by Camilla at Buckingham Palace. And she's very into that kind of a thing. The Queen's love of books is deep-rooted. It's authentic and it's so wide-ranging. Blah, 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 blah. However difficult your life is, you can pick up a book and you can escape. Blah, 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 blah. It's very relaxing. Blah, 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 blah.
What
blah,
does
blah.
She read, though? What are her favourite books, does it say?
She loves a good crime thriller as much as she loves a romance, as much as she loves the classics.
Great woman.
Everything she
Everything.
Reads.
Everything.
She loves hardcore porno.
My child!
And also do-it-yourself manuals. however difficult your life... Anyway, look, she says, I think... Oh, no, Vicky Perrin directed it. I think she loves nothing more than being hit by that smell of a book when you open the cover, the feel of the pages, and folding down the corner for the next time. Now, to be fair, this is Vicky Perrin, director of the Reading Room, who's inferred that. So Camilla hasn't said she does that. So it's been, what's weird is it's been tossed away as a given that you would get a book and you would turn the page down to remember the thing.
Yeah.
Now, look, I don't think there is room here for the column, which I have written before, about you and I read Kindles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And one thing about a Kindle is you put it down and you pick it up and it's where it was. Mm. The turning down is a bit disgusting. If you're talking about a hardback book, it's quite disgusting.
The thing is, my father always treated books with total contempt, and so I do as well. You know, I break their spines and leave them tented on a thing and spill things on them and I don't care. And turn down the corners of the pages, because if you use a bookmark, the bookmark will fall out.
I used to fold the corners of them down. I didn't until I encountered a father of an old girlfriend of mine who used to, when reading, and he read a lot.
Right.
He would tear the corner off, to tear the corners off books, roll them up and use them to pick wax out of his ear while he was reading, and then like ping them onto the floor. Very, very literate man. He would take stacks of books on holiday and then just tear corners off to pick wax out of his ear. And he once cut his eye on a book. And I still vomit when I think about it.
Yeah.
He was like some big hardback book and he was sort of reading it so fast, tearing the pages, and he sliced his eyeball with the book.
Bloody hell.
Anyway, moving on from that.
Is it weird now, being 54, being older than your girlfriend's dad?
I think about it all the time. All the time I think about it. My first girlfriend, my first proper girlfriend, as in I lived with and shared a bed with, her father, who was a journalist, David Blundy, and was shot dead in El Salvador when he was 44.
Yeah.
It is very strange. You have blessed me with an extremely ancient father-in-law. So I don't... Yeah. If I live as long as he was when I met you,
yeah,
I'll be doing quite well.
You will be doing very well.
Books, boring.
No, okay, all right, fine, boring. If it doesn't kind of grab your...
Fine, okay, well, that sounds like the end of the podcast. Fuck this boring story of us.
All right, fine.
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
To find out what I wrote about in the end, pick up a copy of the paper or treat yourselves to a digital subscription.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on The Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.